Hey, moviegoers, it's Chris Comer back for another episode of 5-Minute Reviews, the show where I go to see the movies and tell you whether or not to spend your money on them. Today, I am only going to talk about two films that I saw. I know I usually do a three-film sort of format, and I've done that for the past couple of episodes, but there are only two real films that I felt passionate enough to talk about, and those films today are Captain Marvel and Alita Battle Angel, two incredibly well done, female-led films, and without further ado, let's just jump into it. Starting off with Captain Marvel, this is the newest film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. However, it's actually a prequel. It takes place before the majority of the films in the series. It takes place in the 1990s, and it is not shy about telling you that. Captain Marvel at one point literally crashes into a Blockbuster video and then goes next door to a Radio Shack. This is very, very 90s, and it's not shy about telling you that with the cars in the movie, with the characters, with the way people dress, especially with the characters. I mean, it even ages down Sam Jackson, who reprises his role as Nick Fury. They use CGI to make Sam Jackson look a lot younger, and that looks actually surprisingly good. They've used CGI to alter faces in the past with movies like Rogue One, and it hasn't always turned out excellent, but this came out really good. You can't even notice. Although I will say it probably wasn't that hard for the CGI guys, because let's be honest, Sam Jackson hasn't aged a day in like 20 years. That said, they do the same thing for Clark Gregg as he reprises his role as Agent Coulson, and sometimes with him it does not look as good. It kind of looks like he's made of clay at some point. That said, he's not in the movie that much, so you shouldn't notice too much, but there are some points where it's like, okay, the CGI does not look as good. But it's amazing how far visual effects have come, and the visual effects in this movie are really, really stunning, truth be told. Captain Marvel often uses like these photon blasts that come from her hands, and that sort of effect looks really good. It's a very colorful, vibrant film, exactly what you sort of expect from Disney and Marvel. The characters in this movie are really good. Sam Jackson always does great in these movies, but he's a very different kind of Nick Fury than we've seen in the past. He's definitely more optimistic, more hopeful. He's sort of newer to S.H.I.E.L.D. He's not the director yet, so he hasn't seen it all yet. So he hasn't, you know, lost his sort of hope or hopefulness. He isn't as hard or dark as he has been in the past. He's much, much lighter. There's also a great villain in this movie, the Skrulls. They are really delightfully weird. Their whole shtick is that they can morph into any person or any species that they can see, so they can like change their face and their body to look like any human. So it's sort of a secret invasion, if you will, where they can impersonate humans. And so there's this one scene where Captain Marvel is fighting an old lady because a Skrull is impersonating her, and it's actually quite comical. I was actually talking to my boss, and he was taking his kids to he was going to take his kids to go see it, but he said that old lady kind of creeped him out. So for like younger kids, like seeing an old grandma, you know, start to fight and growl at people, it's a little creepy, but it's not really that bad. I wouldn't say that it really affects the movie that much. That said, all the characters being great, the main villain Talos is great. You know, Sam Jackson really does well. He really shines. Every character is great, except for Captain Marvel. It's the same thing as with Black Panther. The title character happens to be the most boring, which it shouldn't be that. And it's actually kind of worse in this movie, because they sort of hyped her up as this strong female character. Like, that was the whole PR of this movie, was pushing this sort of feminist agenda that she is, you know, the strongest, that she is the most powerful. And that's all great, but she sort of suffers from Superman syndrome, where her character is kind of boring because there's no real obstacles for her, because she's so powerful. Also, Brie Larson's performance is sort of lackluster too. I mean, they try to make her snarky, and there are some lines that are funny, but they don't always land, and that's a shame because I really wanted this movie to do well. This was sort of Disney's answer to Wonder Woman, DC's Wonder Woman from a couple years ago, except that movie was done a lot better, in my opinion. This one is sort of a 7 out of 10 for me. Your kids are going to love it if you have kids. They love these Marvel movies. Take them to go see it. But it's not, you know, the script isn't that great, and the main character isn't that great either. And I don't think that's Brie Larson's, the actress's, fault. I don't think that's her fault at all. I think it's a matter of poor direction. So I actually am really excited to see Captain Marvel... or Brie Larson returned as Captain Marvel in Avengers Endgame next month, and see what sort of how she'll do with the Russo brothers' direction, because they really know how to bring the best out of a character. But more on this movie. A big glaring problem I have with this film is it doesn't know what kind of film it wants to be. Sometimes it's a fish out of water movie because Captain Marvel's an alien, so she feels sort of out of place on Earth. She doesn't know proper social cues. Or sometimes it's a amnesia, I have to figure out my past kind of movie, because she finds out that she actually isn't as alien as she thinks she is in her past. And sometimes it's a buddy cop film because she has this relationship with Nick Fury, with Sam Jackson's character. And because this film sort of has a lack of identity and has a lackluster performance from the title character, I don't feel as connected to it as I have felt to other Marvel films. That said, I don't think the performance is really Brie Larson's fault. I think it's a matter of direction, like I said earlier. And I think that Captain Marvel will have a great run in the future. I just think her first outing was a little... shall we say, mediocre, a middle-of-the-road film for me, but younger audiences should really like it. If your kids like superhero movies, go take them to see it. They'll love it. If you like superhero movies, go see it. Judge it for yourself. For me, just sort of middle-of-the-road. If you wanted my opinion, I'd say wait for a DVD / Blu-ray release, depending on where you watch movies, or wait for it to come out on Netflix. On to the next film, and that is Alita Battle Angel, and this movie is gorgeous, like absolutely stunning. Captain Marvel looked great with his visual effects, but Alita Battle Angel is on a whole nother level, and to be honest, I wouldn't expect anything less from a director like James Cameron with movies like Avatar under his belt. And if that movie, the sequel to that movie, if it's anything like this one, I cannot wait to go see it. This is a movie that you actually must see in theaters. Alita is so gorgeous to look at that, like, I think you really can't appreciate it unless it's on a big screen, or if you really must wait for a DVD / Blu-ray release, watch it on an HD TV or 4K TV if you can, because this is something else. I mean, the whole world is kind of built from CGI almost, and I mean, not only can I really not tell, but it looks like a city I could live in. Like, it's sort of set in a realistic-esque kind of post- something really bad happening, not an apocalypse, but post, you know, a war of some kind, and it's really looks like a dirty, grimy kind of New York. Kind of reminds me of Blade Runner. But this movie has a lot to offer visually. It's stunning. Please go see this in theaters and get the full experience. This movie stars Rosa Salazar as Alita, and she is a cyborg that is found in a junkyard by Christoph Waltz's character, Ito. And she is broken down, she has no memory, and Ito repairs her and gives her a brand new body. And she goes out to find out about her past in this film. It's a amnesia sort of film, figured out the past throughout the movie. And that is a really well done. However, a lot of the character development, I will say, feels a little unearned. Like, there is a love interest in this movie and their relationship. I didn't buy it. It was kind of rushed into, and the fact that she kind of jumps into it like full force and like falls in love in a matter of like 5 seconds. It's in a movie that has a lot of great relationships, like between her and Christoph Waltz's character. This is that love interest was really poorly done, and I wish they had more time with it. Jennifer Connelly is in this movie, as well as Mahershala Ali, and both of them are criminally underused. They sort of play the villains in this movie. However, there is a big bad villain that we don't really see until the end of the film who's really running the show. So there's sort of that dynamic where he's controlling it. He's like a puppet master. But Mahershala Ali's in this movie, and they hardly use him. It blows me away. That said, there's a lot to like about this film. Like the fight scenes. Oh my God, the fight scenes are so cool. Like very reminiscent of RoboCop or Terminator. It's a little graphic, I'm not going to lie to you. It's really pushing that PG-13 rating. But it's really mostly robots fighting robots, so no real humans are getting harmed. There's not a lot of blood, but it does get kind of gory at times, and that might be a little upsetting. However, there is one scene. I went to see this movie with a friend, and there is a scene where a dog is harmed, and that really upset her and hurt her experience. So if you have a sensitivity towards animals, you might not like that scene. It might upset you. It might, you know, alter your opinion of the rest of the movie. However, me, I realized that no actual dogs were harmed in the making of this film. So, and there's a chance that they could make that dog a cyborg and we'll see him in the next one. Because this movie does set itself up for a sequel, which is kind of, you know, that upset me a little because who knows if this movie will get a sequel. I mean, it did make a lot of money, and it's got a huge audience now, so maybe it will. But it cost a lot to make this movie, I can tell you, because these visuals, like I said, they're on another level. So we'll see what happens with this movie. But I would love to see a sequel to this one. I really enjoyed this film. It's very reminiscent of those old sort of 80s sci-fi films. However, it's based on a manga and an anime from Japan. Those are sort of Japanese cartoons and comics. And I never read the manga or watched the anime, so I can't really judge how faithful it was. But from people I've talked to say that this movie is faithful and does a lot on its own. So it's really just a good adaptation overall. I can't judge that for myself. If you've read the manga, judge it for yourself. I really enjoyed this movie, and I think you will too if you're into sci-fi. Go see Alita Battle Angel. This one gets a sort of 8 out of 10 for me because of the character development issues. But if you love some killer sci-fi and some great action sequences, this is the movie for you. So an 8 out of 10 for me. Go see Alita Battle Angel in theaters. It's the best way to watch this movie. All right. Well, that is my time. I've only got 2 movies for you today. Maybe in the next episode, I'll go back to a 3-movie format if I have another movie to talk about. But the movies I saw this week were pretty great. And take care. Thanks for listening.